Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, tennis fans from around the globe. The following program is a presentation of the Yellow Ball Network.
Are we on?
Yep, we're on.
All right, let's go.
Broadcasting live from the Tennis Dynamics Studio in downtown Marietta, Georgia, this is the We Coach Tennis Radio Show on the Yellow Ball Network. Your host for the show this week is J.P. Weber.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're back here on the We Coach Tennis Radio Show, and we've been gone for a while, been off the air, and we're heading back on. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to call us, you can call us in on the Yellow Ball Hotline number, and that number is 646-652-4856, and I'm just not sure when we're going to be on. Normally, if everything goes as planned, what we'll try to do is come back every Tuesday at noon. But I'd like to get some extra shows in between, make up for the time we've been gone. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes, why we've been gone and things of that nature. You can pick up these shows if you want to through iTunes and podcasts and things of that nature. And we'd love to hear from you on that, in that respect. Why have we been off the air? Well, I had some health issues. I had actually gotten up. I had become quite the fat ass. I had gotten up to 280 pounds. Now, at 280, it was different. Now, I got there slowly. I got there over time. I think, you know, for a good portion of the time that I was gaining weight, I really didn't feel like I was gaining that much weight. I just didn't hit many balls anymore. I did a lot of coaching of young kids, and I've never been one that really is a believer that the coach needs to be hitting on his own and working on his own game as much as you're working on the kids' game. I think when you are working on your game, and you're focused on your game and trying to help your game, then what ends up happening is the kids don't get the same kind of attention from you. If you're really working on your game, you ache, you hurt, and a lot goes on with you. So, you know, I didn't spend the time doing those kinds of things. So I ballooned up to about 280 pounds, and that was back in May. And my friend Wayne Bryan had gotten wind of that, and so Wayne made a wager with me, and he said, look, you got to drop the pounds, you got to drop the weight. Not only Wayne, but I had a week worth of appointments. My doctor brought me in, told me I'd been diagnosed with diabetes now, and it was more advanced, because I think the previous 10 visits to the doctor where they said you have pre-diabetes, I kept saying to myself, look, that's not going to happen to me, I can do this. And, you know, I'm not going to end up overweight. Anyway, it slowly happened. I remember, I think even 10 years before that, one of the doctors, I actually did suffer a small heart attack. One of the doctors actually had said to me at one point, he said, you know, you're obese. And I couldn't believe he told me I was obese. And I was looking at everybody else. I said, they're fat. I'm not fat. But I ballooned up to about 280, so I got on the phone and did what I needed to do as far as with the doctors and things. But I got on the phone with Wayne. Wayne made a challenge, and so the challenge was to get down to 240. So I got down to 240 and went below that, and I've been quite busy. We've had a lot of tournaments, a lot of things going on, and But I've gotten that past me. Now I'm down. Now I tell you what, if you've ever been overweight, so I haven't lost before, and I made my way up in the weight category, but I had not gone back down before. So if you make your way up in weight and then you're on your way back down, one of the great things is this. Okay, yesterday or the day before, I finally had some time. I went to my closet and I started pulling out some clothes that I had. You know, obviously, I didn't wear the 32s anymore. I was more like a 42 or 44. So I had to go, you know, check my clothes. Well, not, they don't fit anymore. But they don't fit not because they're too tight. They don't fit because now they're so baggy. So it's a great feeling to lose this weight. Now I just got to go back to the doctor. I got to see. There's different people that say different things. The health people at Emory are fantastic. Emory Hospital, they put me through quite a few courses. We're doing quite a few things with that. And now they tell me you can't reverse diabetes, but I've got all these things I get. If you get diabetes and you get on it, what you find then is that everybody's going to start contacting you. I suppose the hospitals and everybody else, they send you stuff. So you're going to be contacted by everybody and his brother. And there's all this stuff about being able to reverse it. And according to the nutritionist, according to everybody at Emory, all the experts, you can't reverse it, but you can control it. The best way to control it is begin getting on a proper diet, eating the right things, and losing the weight. So I've done the first part of it, losing weight. I've gotten down to 235. My next goal is going to be 210. I'm going to shoot for 210 if I can make 210. And, it sounds like that's a, to anybody that's in shape or has anybody that's been in shape, I mean, I sort of know where it is I got to go to. It's funny, the other night we went to the Clemson football game. And to imagine at one time I was actually go out when Coach Creasy had the teams go out to the stadium stairs and run up those stairs. I had a hard time walking up the stairs. So, I know what it's like to at one time have been in shape. So, we went to that game and I was going up those steps and I thought I was going to pass out just trying to go up one little flight of stairs there. So I've still got a long way to go as far as getting myself back in shape. But that shouldn't be a problem. And kudos and thanks, many thanks go out to my friend Wayne Bryan, who kind of stuck with me and helped me a bunch on this stuff. So a lot of thanks. I'm going to take a quick commercial break and come right back.
Hi, this is Coach Chuck Creasy. All of you know that I take pride in calling it the way it is. And boy, oh boy, is it an exciting time in tennis. The 10 and under stuff, the juniors, the pros, and college. If you want to hear the cutting edge of the real stuff and not just the diluted and watered down fluff, folks, listen to Coach J.P. Weber on the We Coach Tennis program every Tuesday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Here on the Yellow Ball Network.
Hey, come play the Marietta Grand Prix. It's a lot of fun. You get to play a lot of tennis, and we have Chick-fil-A sandwiches from Chick-fil-A. And you get to eat a lot. And if you can, you can play doubles with your friends or with your dad or your mom.
Hey, folks, this is J.P. Weber. Take it from the kid. The 2015 Handmade Charlotte Marietta Grand Prix Series of Tournaments is a great way to spend the day with the family playing tennis. To find out more, go to www.tennisdynamics.net. That's tennisdynamics.net, where you can call us at the Laurel Park Tennis Center at 770-919-8602. Hi, coaches and players. If you play on a tennis court in the Southeast, you've probably played on a tennis court designed, constructed, lighted, or resurfaced by courtmakers.com. Marshall Dye and the guys at Courtmakers will work on any type of court. From my experience with them, they work in a professional manner, they show up on time like they say they will, and they never leave a mess. Courtmakers can provide for all equipment needs. Call them at 770-795-8400. 770-795-8400. That's courtmakers.com. All right, we're back. Now, I picked up back on doing this show, and I picked up back on doing the show at the urging. Look, I've been off air now for quite some time, and I thought that there might be something that I could do along the way to be able to have some sort of longevity, at least a little bit of longevity, longer than Coach Creasy. And I don't even know how many radio shows, and hopefully he'll be coming on here in a minute. I don't even know how many he's done now. If anybody else knows how he's been as a coach, you know, he had all those winning years and all those wins and all those matches that he coached. I can't even imagine. Now he's doing radio shows and coaching still. So I wanted at least one area that I could keep up with. I can't keep up with the guy. I cannot keep, there's one guy you can't keep up with. It's Coach Creasy. He's got a passion for this sport and a passion for this. But beside the point, I guess one of the things I wanted to kind of talk about and figure out is why I even do this show. And, you know, I sit here and I think about it, and there's a lot of other things that I could be doing. I've got dogs that I could be training. I've got players that I could be training. I've got a myriad of things I could be doing for my wife around my house. There's all kinds of things that could be done except for doing this radio show. Why is it important that this radio show get out there? For me, I think it's vital that we have a voice, and that there is a voice that is different than that of what's being put out there now by the one big source, the USGA. And a lot of times that's going to make it seem as though if I'm opposed to them, and I'm absolutely not opposed to the USGA in any way. Let me make sure that I get that straight. I don't know about what I am with them because it changes all the time. But the radio show and the voice that this radio show has, and the ability to be able to give coaches who come in, you know, or who don't get recognized and don't get put forward as being great coaches, are many of them are busy coaching, doing stuff with their kids. They've got a lot on their plates. They can't go out and go to these conferences. They can't go to the, I think they just had the USPTA conference. They're going to have the PTR. They're going to have a USGA thing. All this stuff that's going on. A lot of these guys make every one of those, and they're on the speaking circuit for every one of those. So they get put to the forefront. And there's a lot of coaches out there who aren't at the forefront. So that's one big reason for this show. The We Coach Tennis radio show is there to give those coaches that have had success through the years and may not be recognized as well on this show, it gives them a chance for at least being heard. And I like getting their side of things. I don't think we often enough get the different side of things. The second reason that I like doing this show is because I do think there needs to be a place where people speak up. And there's got to be a venue where people can feel like that they can step forward, they can say what's on their mind, they can voice their opinion about stuff, and then it can be heard. It can also be recorded and put down and then looked at later. Very often when many of the mandates are put forward and enforced and shoved down your throats and things of that nature by either the USGA or the the marketing guys or the corporate entities that sort of run what gets done in tennis, very often these guys in these places aren't really questioned. They're never questioned. Their motives aren't questioned, and how they're doing it isn't questioned, and whether or not what they're doing is good for tennis is even questioned. It's put forward, and they've got a juggernaut of a organization behind them, one that makes $200 million a year on the U.S. Open. And so they've got a lot of money behind them, and they do stuff, and they go ahead and go forward. And people don't get heard. People don't get heard because in many instances they're a little too shy to speak up in meetings. we've had meetings, and you've got all these, you know, everybody wants to say the the right thing and the nice thing. So that's why I do this show. That's why it's not easy doing this show. It's not the easiest thing to come in and come on every week to set things up, to run it, and to be perfectly honest, this week we're sort of flying by the seat of our pants as well. We're getting started. I just wanted to get back in the chair and get going, and so it's very difficult to do, but I think it has a benefit. We've looked at the numbers from the past. Even when we were off the air, we were getting listeners. I didn't realize how many, but several hundred people have been going on and listening. So that's one thing. I'm going to see if I can real quick. Let's try. I'm going to bring on a caller here. A caller at 843-953-4845. Are you there?
Okay, JP, that's me. It's Coach Creasy. Can you hear me all right?
Listening. Have you been listening to the
show? I've been listening to the whole thing. I really... I'm very, very happy that you're back on the air. You know, it's really, really important. I have my normal metaphors or word pictures or examples that I'd love to give you why you should be continuing with your show. I mean, if you'd like me to say them.
Oh, please do. I mean, because you're doing one too, and you were here not too long ago, brought your team, and you ask sometimes why do we do what we do, Coach? I mean, what is it about us?
Well, first of all, you underestimate how valuable that it is. And I think I've told you, whether you have 300 or 3,000 listeners, you would take a long trip for 300 people to listen to you, you know, give a speech. But, you know, you have 300, 500. I've seen where you had 800 listeners one week. And, you know, that's just like giving a talk to an audience of 800 people, and you get to speak that out. Now, this analogy I'm going to give you is really, really important, because you really don't understand your value. I spent two nights in the hospital. I've been blessed beyond belief. I've only had two nights in the hospital my whole life. And both of them, I had a kidney stone one time, and then I had a neck surgery one time. I had seven people in those two nights come visit me, and I will never, ever, ever forget Sammy Blackman, my good friend, Andy Johnson, my good friend, and the others who came and just said, "Hey, how you doing?" I never, when people reach out to you like Wayne did with you, Wayne Bryan, you'll never forget that the rest of your life. That's an unbelievable thing. Well, it's the same thing. You underestimate sometimes the value of your actions. You know, seeing somebody when they're in the hospital, sending somebody a note when they're down. We have so much information now with the internet. I've often said it's like drinking water out of a fire hose. We don't know what's valuable and what is not. But a note to somebody, kind words to somebody, being able to articulate your ideas, JP, once a week on your radio show is extremely valuable. The first people that would want you to stop your show is the USTA or the ITA, because you might say something that goes against what they say. But if that's number one, you don't understand the value of what you're doing. Number two is that it takes time to get courage to speak out. I've learned with my show and with talking to so many people, we have sheeple out there. Sometimes I get very irritated that people will talk to you and say, yeah, I really believe what you say. I really believe the USTA is not doing this. I really believe the ITA is not doing this. That's wrong. And then it comes time to speak up, and they creep back backwards. And whether you call them sheeple, I don't think that's completely correct. I think it takes practice in articulating your ideas and speaking out and being courageous to do so. On my show, I always say address issues, not people, and you can say anything you want. And that sort of gives people a middle ground to stand up and to speak out. You must tell people what is – you've got to – look, we've got a bunch of stuff going on right now. that is just atrocious for our game. We need to have almost riots in the tennis streets standing up against this. But we need opposition to what they are doing. It's just awful because they do mind to change. Just like our current president, and I don't want to get political, he said he's planned on changing the United States of America. He did it. And whether it's good or bad, he definitely changed it. I'll let people decide whether they think it was good or bad. The USTA and their mandates with the 10 and under tennis, and now they're going to start pushing through this no-ad scoring system. They're going to change the sport that we have loved for 132 years. Now, the bad thing is that if it goes down the tubes, I'm telling you, very few of those folks are going to be around to take the blame because they'll have the tennis blood on their hands. The ITA has been an atrocious organization over the past so many years. You know, it's just been all, we've got new leadership and we're all hopeful that it will be better. But it is really responsible. It is responsible for a lot of the problems that we have in college tennis. Now, the point is the voices need to be heard, whether they're voices with you, voices against you. But it takes courage of everyone out there to stand up and speak out, JP. And it takes courage to learn how to speak out. And you get mad. You really do get mad, and you just want to call people names. But the third thing I'll tell you why you need to be on the show is because it gives everybody a chance to learn how to articulate their ideas and to really put them together and come up with a very, very factual but fair explanation of what needs to happen and where we need to go. We need an intelligent debate about this no-ad scoring. We need an intelligent we don't need it rammed down our throats like they're doing it. We need intelligent debates about the different mandates put forward. So those are the three things I wanted to tell you, JP. Just we need you. We need your voice. We need the entertainment of your show is fantastic. It's something I look forward to every week. And all of your 300-plus or 3,000-plus listeners look forward to it as well. So that, for what it's worth, that's the big deal there, and I've got a few other ideas, but I think, you know, people can listen to my show and get all of them, but my, oh my, we're under tennis tyranny right now, so if not you, then who? If not now, then when? We have tennis tyranny going on, and we need to stand up and oppose it. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God, so anyhow, that's the scoop.
Did you hear my comments about all those are great, and I want to go into those a little bit more. I want to ask you a little bit more about those. But did you happen to hear my comments about you know, we snuck up to that Clemson Notre Dame football game? You know,
You would do that with the pouring down rain. But yeah, I heard about you crawling up the steps there. So
pouring down rain. It's tough getting old. I can remember being able to do many of those steps, you know, kind of going along. When you sent the guys over, I would go over with them and do it for the heck of it. I couldn't do it as well as Frank Salazar.
We used to do sprints. We used to do the whole stadium sprints. It usually used to take between 13 and 16 minutes, two steps up, one on the way down. We used to do that as part of our training, plus have to make a 5:15 mile, plus we used to do those dikes, those big hills where we'd run 10 times up forward. We'd do about 4 to 6 backwards. But one year we had 13 players on the opposing team go down in cramps against us. And during the year, that was a source of pride to be more fit. That's something you can control is your fitness. And that's a shame that this no-ad stuff has taken away the opportunity to at least control that, hey, I'm more fit than you. Right now it's like, hey, serves and nerves, and can I get that 40-40 point one way or another?
Well, we're older now, and we're, you know, do you get tired of sort of being the opposition, and do you get tired of sometimes being the only guy and the only voice? You feel like you're the only voice?
I think there are more people out there. I need to send out a poll. We need to somehow get together. I would like the We Coach Tennis organization, your program there, JP. You can do a lot. You have over 3,000 on your We Coach Tennis site now. But I sure would like for you to take on the brand and stand up for college tennis, junior tennis, and things to give people an alternative, because people need an alternative. We stood up with the MDTA, Men's Division I Tennis Association, and we made a lot of headway. I think we supplied some pressure in some ways to get the past guy to sort of step down, who had run the ITA for 37 years. I think also they now have meetings at Kalamazoo and other places because of us taking the initiative. We never used to have any meetings. It was just sort of everything done in a dark room, you know, behind the scenes. It was always just sort of, hey, this is the way it is, and by the way, our board said this. Well, the board was all handpicked, and it was cronyism to an extreme. And I think it's going to be a whole lot better. And, you know, we'll see. The new leader there is really reaching out and trying to talk to everybody. And that's a good, good first step. But, you know, look, JP.
This is I have no love for that guy. I don't like the way he did.
Well, you know, from other standpoints, all you can do is give a guy a chance, I think. But I know that you have information that says that he and some people out in Arizona were responsible for changing the note to 10-point tiebreakers, and they're forcing this abbreviated scoring thing, and it's basically a ideology. First, it's an ideology, JP. It's like socialism. It's like it's all right to be smarter than your hound dog. You don't want to have to outrun them. Everybody should have the fair chance. Well, you know, tennis is we have the same starting point. We shouldn't have the same finishing point. You know, they want the same finishing point. They want parity without skill set. And this is what underachievers do. You know, and I'll go on record as saying there's some teams out there and coaches who are underachieving with their talent, and they don't want to outwork people, so they lower the bar. Whenever you lower the bar, you allow average people to get over it, and pretty soon everybody's getting a participation trophy. And pretty soon what you've done is you've dumbed it down to where it's not even a prize worth going after. Yeah, we need to find out who is out there standing up, but I believe me, the polls have been taken. 85% of the players do not want NOAD. 88%, it was 85% of the women's coaches do not want it. About 70% of the men's coaches do not want it. They've got D1 coaches about 50-50 on the men's side, but they basically recruited, and I don't know what the heck they did. They got about the top 30 coaches split 50-50. And, you know, so it's really troublesome, but to everybody listening out there, listen, this is more than a battle, Chuck Creasy battle or J.P. Weber battle. It's for your juniors. I guarantee you that this college thing is going to be pushed down. It's already being pushed down to the juniors. It was already used as an excuse 2 weeks ago at the Southern's Junior Davis Cup. The coach up, the USTA guy there said, well, they're doing this in college. And this is their bailout. So there is an agenda to shorten tennis, to abbreviate it, to dumb it down. And 132 years of heritage matters a lot, Coach Weber. I mean, it really does. We need to be up in arms about this.
Well, let me ask you, okay, so there's times where you feel fatigued with it. You know, it takes all this courage and stuff. What if you just laid down and just said, you know, for lack of a better, you know, I think Bobby Knight said at one time, he got in a little bit of trouble for it. I'm going to go ahead and say it. If rape is inevitable, why don't you just lay back and enjoy it? I mean, Coach, they're screwing us over. Why don't you just lay back? What keeps you and me? Why can't we just lay back and enjoy it?
Well, first of all, they're not screwing us over. They're screwing up over every your son, my son, and daughters for the sport of tennis. They will never know, and they'll never learn how to get tough. Look, our children don't play tennis for trophies or rah-rah rankings. They play to learn the lessons of life. And these lessons of life are taught through a sport that is tough. It teaches you everything about perseverance and enduring. But to answer your question, you know, with many years ago I came up with a chart. My five duties in coaching are to, number one, get the players better. Number two, get better players. Number three, have better opportunities for players with good schedules. Number four, make sure we have smooth itineraries. Number five, you take care of all the politics. Now, I've stuck pretty much to that my whole life, and I told my assistant as well that you get players better. That's number one. And when you start taking time away from getting your players better, you've got a problem. Then you become an administrator instead of a coach. Well, we've fighting this thing so much, yeah, it breaks you down, to tell you the truth. But it is about, if number three, getting better experiences for the players. If we dumb down tennis, it's an after-school activity. It's not really a varsity sport. And to tell you the truth, we're already there in high school tennis. We might be there in college. Well, we're almost there in college tennis, too. I went to a tournament these last two weekends. They played NOAD. It's laughable that they played a six-game set for doubles at a tournament, NOAD. It was laughable. It was like, what? Are you kidding me? No endurance, no strategy changes, nothing. Just go out and hit some balls and get ahead and stay ahead. And we're dumbing it down to an after-school activity. So we should be ashamed. USTA should be ashamed of themselves for talking about being educators at all. They are not educators. They are entertainers, and they're looking to get a lot of people in the sport and make some bucks. And they know exactly those people behind this will have the tennis blood on their hands, and they should be ashamed of themselves. And for us to not fight it, we should be ashamed of ourselves.
Part of their plan, part of their plan and part of what they want to try to accomplish, I think, is to get it all the way up and down. Your problem with tennis right now at the collegiate level is that it's only at the collegiate level. But what if they were able to align pro tennis where it was no ad?
It's not. Listen. They have no ad and 10-point tiebreaker in pro.
They
have pro doubles and ITF doubles right now. Okay, now they got college, okay? Now, they got college singles and doubles. So now you have junior tennis. Juniors, singles and doubles, they'll have it. The only thing left to do will be pro singles.
Right.
Okay, do you hear me? The only thing left is pro singles. So
right.
Once that's done, then
you won't have anything to worry about. You'll be playing and you'll be training toward that very end, which is what you really align yourself for anyway.
JP, the point is it's a flawed system. It will never...
Why is it a flawed system? Now we're getting to... Why do you think it's a flaw? In other words, so this push to this change, they've got no qualms about it. They've got no moral problems, ethical problems with it. They're going to go to this end. In the end, they want to see all of tennis, no ad, because it'll be shorter, and they believe that that's going to make more people play tennis because people have so much on their plate from a time standpoint. So my question back to you is, why is that not a good thing to do in terms of it sounds to me like you think it's not only it's the whole system is flawed if you head that way. Why would it be flawed?
Well, again, making things easier does not make them better. You know, and shame on them for underestimating the intellect and the curiosity and the depth of our children or the depth of tennis players. Shame on them to think that tennis is only forehands and backhands and a little bit of style. You know, we're dumbing it down to where it becomes something like bowling or something like, you know, it's an after school you know, Bandcamp or something. It's we have the most beautiful sport in the world. And their take on it is they are losing players because it's too hard. It's too complicated.
No, it's too long. No. They're losing players because of time. The time is too much. They want to shorten the time commitment all the way around. You know, that's
additional. What about a baseball game? What about a baseball game? What about, I mean, come on, that's garbage. If there is an agenda, they are, that's stinking thinking. The stinking thinking, and you're taking chess and making it into checkers. And again, I took my children out this morning to play tennis. And yes, they're going to learn how to hit the tennis ball beautifully eventually. But to play the game and the sport, I'm not so sure I want them in it if it's no ad scoring, four game sets, participation trophies galore. I mean, my son is into baseball. Baseball, they have not screwed it up too bad. Basketball's been screwed up. Football is sport. It's pretty clean still. Baseball's great. Golf is, they haven't screwed it up. It's popular now. You know, golf round takes 3 hours. You watch golf 4 hours on an afternoon. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Every Sunday, they have beautiful golf tournaments on all summer long. Now and then, you can get a Tennis Channel tournament on, but they promote it the wrong way, and that's a whole different topic. But look, if you want to, we can go into 10 reasons why traditional scoring is much better for player development.
Before we do that, I want to get to a different thing. Let me take one last commercial break. We'll come right back. And what I want to try to do, I want to get with you why I have my reasons, and I'm kind of trying to lead you toward this, and I think you and I have talked about it. But when we come back, I want to talk about the fact that I think that where they're heading with this is purely entertainment, and it doesn't have the value. I want to look at the exact reasons as to why that is. Let's take a commercial break. We'll come right back. Recoach Tennis Radio Show. Be right back. I can't think of a better place to go than Courtmakers.com for any of my court equipment needs. Any kind of equipment that you need for your club or facility. Windscreens, nets, net straps, benches, scoreboards. You can find all of this at Courtmakers.com. Or like them on Facebook and see all the latest stuff that they're doing in court construction, resurfacing, and lighting. That's Courtmakers.com, Courtmakers.com.
Hi, this is Coach Chuck Creasy. I take great pride in calling it the way it is. It's a meat and potato principle of coaching that no one really cares what you know unless they know that you care. As a parent also, I want this and very skilled hands working with my youngster. Coach J.P. Weber's 30 years of experience speaks for itself. Go see him at Laurel Park in Marietta, Georgia. His website is tennisdynamics.net. Tennisdynamics.net.
All right, Coach, we're back. You and I talked, I want you to touch on just a little bit, and you know, when they invented the game of tennis, and the way that it's going, you know, I've listened, I've watched. Now I don't know, you know, I'm sure she'll give me a call and let me know about it that I'm wrong on this. But I've listened to Lisa Stone and her show, and I've seen some of her writings. And there's always complaint about there's not enough officials out there, and there's not enough this, and there's not enough that. Well, you know. They set tennis up as a sport where with the ad and the no ad, it wasn't a chance kind of thing. And when it was set up, it was given, you know, if you even questioned someone else's call, that was unsportsmanlike. So in the original, and it was a gentleman's game, and it was done on honor, and the way you play was on honor. So they've gone to no ad. Is this the end of benefit of doubt? Is this the end of all?
Yeah,
I mean,
I think so, JP. The cheating is unbelievable. Let me tell you why. The very simple thing, you've hit on a couple things, but when the game was set up, it's not only most sports have a defense and an offense, and you have unique situations for defense and offense. You can't score as a defensive person, but tennis simultaneously, you give up control the minute the ball crosses the net. You go from offense to defense to offense to defense. And the point is that when you win a point, it's two things. It's the point you have now and a point the other guy should have had. It's a double reversal. Now, when unforced errors, we have a statement where we always say, errors feel like one but really count two. The other person's winner feels like two but only counts one. Earned points versus unearned points. But that deuce court point is really worth two games. Everyone knows this. When you have a game at 4-2 and you lose it, it's either 5-2 or 4-3. Everybody's, oh, two-game switch. Well, no, the first game of the match that puts you up 1-0, it's going to take me two complete games to override that one net cord that you got or that one bad line call that you made or that one lucky shot or me missing the one ball on top of the net. All of those are worth two games. Whoever invented tennis was more brilliant than anybody gives him credit for, because really the skill set of being able to lock in your advantage or to incorporate your advantage and to win 3 points in a row, it's based on 3 points in a row. If you don't win the first point of the game, you have to win three in a row or four out of five in normal and regular traditional scoring. No ad, you never have to do anything except win one in a row. So right there, that skill set is never taught with no ad scoring. By the way, Jimmy Van Allen did this, and you know, I think it was just a wild theory that he had, you know, back then, and you know, God bless him for his contributions. But really, when college coaches started using it in the late 70s, and I was in some of those rooms and some of those discussions, they were looking for immediate parity without skill set. It absolutely favors the underdog. It absolutely favors the player who gets hot. Look, it just so many things. I've got 10 reasons here. I'm hoping that your Week Coach Tennis program will print up these 10 reasons that traditional scoring teaches players the way to play tennis more directly. This no-ad scoring is an atrocity. It's a bastardization of the most beautiful scoring system that was ever invented. But the biggest thing, the cheating is outrageous now. A couple weeks ago, we were at a tournament at Georgia Tech. The players came up to me and they said, Coach, what do you do if you get cheated on game point and it's a straight-out cheating? And it's worth two games. It's two-game reversal. Well, I said, what do? Do you cheat them back? I said, well, no, you don't cheat them back. You got to stay according to coach. Well, what do? Just let them run over you? Because the referees, they don't make they aren't really making the calls the way they should. Or most of them are over 75 and need bifocals anyway. The referees we've created, and after we've created a, I shouldn't say, but it's a senior citizens jobs program for the most part, the referees that we have. And my best advice was, you got to call the guy up to the net and you got to talk with him. You've got to go by the code. But if you go by the code, you're going to get run over. Bad people will survive and flourish in this no-ad scoring. It favors the cheaters, and therefore we are creating a situation that incentivizes cheating, is what it does.
It scares me what you're saying here. You're saying that a coach, his job could be on the line. A college coach, for example, his job could be on the line, and if he doesn't teach the player to cheat.
Right. You're caught. You're going to lose more if you don't cheat. You're going to lose more. And that's a terrible thing to say.
Will this start in the junior ranks as well? I mean, will cheating become a way of life?
Of course it will.
Isn't that why they put an ad and no ad? Because a guy might miss a call. You know, I'm playing you, Coach. You missed a call. You know what I mean? You missed it. Benefit of doubt says you missed it. You know, back of my mind, I might say you hooked me, but you, benefit of doubt is you missed it. But you, it's highly doubtful among honorable men playing an honorable sport that it's going to happen twice in a row, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And every call was important, but it was not game changing. Every call made that is cheating. If you cheat on the deuce court points and you do it well, you don't have to be as good as the other guy. You got two game reversals. That's the biggest thing. But again, I'd like for you to put out some time and promise me you would on your weak coach tennis. The reasons that it hurts
that,
learning.
We're going to get to that real quick in just a second. I'm going to try something here. We're going to try something. Bingity bangity bong. Here we go. Hang on. Let's see if we can get the guy to answer. We're going to call.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Mike Sprouse.
Is not available.
Well, he won't answer. He won't do it. I'm trying to get in touch. The ITA has hired a new guy. Now, Coach, everything that they're doing, all this stuff about shortening the format, they're not just shortening the format. There's a thousand other things that you could do. If getting a fan in a stand is the important thing. They've hired Mike Sprouse. He used to play at Notre Dame. One of the more honorable guys that I got an opportunity to be around and coach. Good kid growing up. So he's now taking over at the ITA in terms of marketing. He's going to go in his company. He's been doing it. And so to a guy like him, he's been given an assignment. And he's only really probably listening to or hearing from guys like Bayless and Peter Smith and all these guys that are proponents of this. A guy like you, if you had a real short period of time that you could say to him, look, in 2 minutes or less, what should he be doing to help college tennis? He just put out a survey, and I just found it, and I'll forward it to everybody, but he put out a survey. He's trying to find out. You know, they sandwiched in a few strategic questions that I thought were a little bit, you know, questioning or a little bit questionable and leading. But you, Coach, you're going to talk to Mike Sprouse. He's in charge of marketing college tennis. He loves this great sport of college tennis. How are we going to get more people to watch college tennis?
Well, it has very little to do. Look, scoring system and format is completely different. I don't care what the format is. It's a much bigger issue. When they change the scoring format, you're changing the base root of our sport, and you're bastardizing it. And that's the shameful thing. Number one. Number two is how they did it is unlawful. It's just atrocious. Tyranny, coercive leadership, whatever you want to say, it's an unjust thing that they have done. But to answer your question,
okay, go ahead. You touched
your question.
Let me interrupt you. I'm sorry. Bad manners. I want to interrupt you because I actually think you don't care. I actually think that you think what you said earlier. Your job is to get your players better, and if you get good players, people will come and watch. Now I'll leave you alone.
Well, it's
to
up
answer
to the coach to get the crowd. It's up to each one of us. We're fighting for a fan market. And it's up to us to play the matches at the right time and to play them you have to work at getting crowds out in different ways. We have a lot of things in tennis working against us. You know, the number one thing is the time of the match. Most, I'd say 70 or 80% of college matches are still at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So you have to get retirees because you're not going to get school children, you're not going to get kids and their parents, and you're not going to get people to leave work to come to your tennis match. But so
Hang on. Tell me why. You say it's at 2 o'clock. Why? Why does it have to be at 2 o'clock?
Usually it's for travel reasons and for budget reasons. And
well,
it's also for school and different things like that. You can do that differently. I've often said that we need to play in the fall when the weather is better. Your weather is better in the fall, except for this year, the hurricane stuff. But in the fall, it's much better. The spring, we should do individual tournaments in the spring. Need to play on the weekends. You need to play on a Friday night, give away free hot dogs and things. Maybe on a Sunday afternoon. I think Friday evenings, Sunday afternoons are the only time that people are not really, really occupied now. But to bring out your student body, that's a tough one. The millennials are tough. You know, they're pounded with so much stuff. Again, it's like drinking water out of a fire hose to decide what activity they want to go to. And unless there is a relationship with the players on the team, you're not going to go out and watch tennis. You know, you're not going to. So, I mean, that's the number one thing. It's when it's played and the format it's played is to be concerned with. But it has nothing to do with the scoring system. The format doesn't matter if you protect the scoring system. But once you bastardize, you know what? I told somebody, it's like tennis used to be a beautiful woman that was classy, special. Now what we've done, it's demeaning. She dresses trashy, and she has been betrayed so many times. Her attitude is bad, and it's just not something that is well represented. We have mistreated her when we changed the scoring system. Format doesn't matter. Scoring system is one of the essential, most precious heirloom we have. I don't understand how the USTA doesn't get that. You know, they should be into education, and apparently they're not. They're into entertainment. Shameful, guys. You USTA guys.
I think this time thing is the big thing all the way around. They're fixated on the idea that the time of a tennis match for a fan is inconvenient. I'm going to do a whole show coming up on the inconvenient tennis match, but the inconvenience of a fan being in stands.
They're throwing stuff at the wall hoping that something will stick. You know, they're thinking it has nothing. It's not the time. People go to Major League Baseball games over and over and over, and they're long things. And those who follow golf will follow golf. And some of the other sports, but they could not be more wrong. And if you want to make it shorter, you make simultaneous formats, but do not change the scoring system. That's where we take offense, and that's where each and every one of your listeners, guys listening out there, stand up and speak out, because you're going to get what you didn't want. Do not just assume that we have learned individuals that are making these decisions. Most of these administrators have never been coaches, have never played, and they have limited understanding of the game. And they're just trying to throw stuff at the wall.
Review for a guy like Mike Sprouse, who's doing this for the – you, Coach Creasy, you do care about getting fans then. You would care – would you say you care about getting fans? Okay. Now, you also have made the suggestion. And I'm for every one of these. For example, it boggles my mind why schools like Georgia Tech will play a match against Auburn or the Citadel or somebody at 1 p.m. in the afternoon on Wednesday. Nobody's going to be able to come and watch that. And they don't schedule basketball games at that time. They don't schedule women's softball, which they pay a lot of money. They pay a lot of money, and let's get this straight. I want folks to understand one thing. Women's softball and women's volleyball, none of those sports would be anywhere if they weren't getting funds mandated.
Football money mandated. That's right.
Yeah, and it is devoted and allocated to those sports for marketing purposes. If tennis had that kind of money, you'd see that kind of fans showing up at fan numbers at tennis matches. So anyway, Coach Creasy says,
exactly.
Coach Creasy says, number one, he says, play at the right time. He says, try and do something in the fall rather than do it in the spring. He says, play at a better time of the week and the day. Coach, I love those ideas. Now, you go a step further. You're saying and correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that you would be much more for a simultaneous format, and I assume this means doubles and singles at the same time, than you would be for this format that they've thrown at us where they're changing the scoring of the matches. Am I correct there?
Without a doubt, completely. You're changing the fabric of the sport, the integrity of the sport. It's a bastardization of the most brilliant scoring system. And if these guys, I'm shameful, USTA, if you don't understand the essence of our scoring system, you should not be in the positions you are. You better study the sport more and understand the multiple dimensions of it.
And we spoke earlier, the deep-rooted reasons for this, and it starts with the way that the game was founded. Now, they, and like you said, I think they don't care. I think they're looking at this from an entertainment standpoint. I don't think they
okay.
care. I don't think they
if
care
If they don't
at all
care, get them out of there. Get somebody in there that does care. And in the meantime, people need to let them have it, because if you don't understand the importance of the scoring system, you don't belong in tennis. You really don't. That's
Coach.
A bold statement. But you better look a little deeper. Those guys who you brought up, and they think that no ad is special. 1, 2, 3, 4 versus a game that lasts between 4 and 7 points only. And believe me, it's much easier to coach it. You know, you just have to do. You don't have a lot of variables, but the sport is turned into checkers instead of chess. You know, we're doing the band we're playing the tuba in the band now instead of playing the violin in the orchestra. We're bait casting with stink bait instead of fly fishing with midges and intricate fly. I can go on. It's awful.
Let's move a little bit. Plans for the future. I'd love to, one of the things I want, you know, and just before we get off, I'd love to get Mike Sprouse, guy that played at Notre Dame, marketing guru up there in New York area.
Get him on. Let's love have you. The debate. I'll call him for my show.
Well, let's see if we can. Now, the plans for the future. You and I've talked a little bit, and I'm always skeptical of forming some other sort of organization to try and get something going, but I am very interested, and I think we're going to look at trying to do this. We're going to start trying through organizing more closely. We're going to put together the organization called We Coach Tennis. And we're going to try and set it up as a nonprofit, correct?
Sounds like a good thing, JP. You need to have so many
I'm asking you because you're going to help. I'm asking you because you're going to help with this.
Okay.
It's going to be Coach Tennis, and the word tennis is going to be capitalized. Every letter in it is going to be capitalized, and we're going to create some T-shirts, and we're going to have those T-shirts, and I'd like to see what we can do in terms of getting some of those T-shirts distributed out to different coaches. Let's charge them for the T-shirts. Let's charge them and make a little extra money so we can put this money into a bank account somewhere and start some kind of organization. And let's start – you mentioned what we need to do is get some – tournaments organized and do some regular scoring tournaments and try to hold to some of the tenets of the game that have lasted forever.
I think if you hold the traditions of the game, your following will be unbelievable. You have to hold strong to the traditions of the game.
We need to honor it.
Look, we're changing the Constitution. Look. To change the scoring system is like trying to change, and tennis is like trying to change the Constitution of the United States and our government. It is that important. And those of you who do not understand that, go back and think deeply about this beautiful, beautiful scoring system we have. And but let's do it. Anybody that's in needs to put forward their best effort. Otherwise, it's dead in the water. The sport is really going to die. You're going to diminish it to the place where it you think things are bad now, just wait. If you play no ad scoring, what's going to go on?
Thanks for coming on. This is the We Coach Tennis radio show is back on. I'm going to try and keep it here. Cut it off at an hour, Coach. Keep them wanting to come back for some more. We're going to close it off here.
Okay.
I want to see you back here again with us again, and I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for the work you do, JP. WeCoachTennis.com, right? Give them – give them how to get a hold of We Coach Tennis. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
This has been the We Coach Tennis Radio Show on the Yellow Ball Network. Check in here with us every Tuesday at noon and listen to another great coach talk about what makes their program a success.
No doubt about it.